All right, guys, welcome to 2021 and the Let's Talk Tennis podcast. I'm here with Vulzi and Marty, and today we're going to have a discussion about how much tennis you should be playing. And we're going to kind of touch upon all the different levels of tennis, from adult tennis to junior tennis, even all the way up to college tennis. And we're just going to sit down and have a look at our opinions on how much tennis you need to be playing, and then see if we can align up with goals as well. Like, if you're somebody who wants to get to a very high level of tennis, how much should you play? Or if you're somebody who just wants to make small adjustments to their game, do you need to be playing 5 or 6 days a week? So before we get into that, guys, how was your Christmas? How was the new year? How is everybody doing?
Yeah, very well. I think a bit strange, like everyone here, but yeah, I mean, let's hope that this year it's going to get better than last. So yeah, let's see.
Yeah, same here. You know, just hoping this year's going to be a better one than the last one. And, you know, just keep looking forward, moving forward.
Absolutely. So for anybody who is listening right now, I'm in the UK and we are actually in lockdown 3. And we're actually not allowed to play tennis right now. So if anyone who is listening from the UK, I know that this might be a bit of a touchy subject because we actually can't play that much tennis right now or any tennis right now. But when we do come out of lockdown, hopefully this will help you kind of understand the time period you should be spending on tennis and how much time you need to spend on the court in order to kind of hit your goals that you set. So guys, why don't we talk about adult tennis first? And if we're somebody who is, you know, just playing recreationally, maybe they're playing for a club team, you know, it's not their whole entire existence. They have a job. It's just a hobby. How much time should they be spending on the court? Because I feel like a lot of people, tennis is very easy to get obsessed with, right? It's very easy to want to spend every day on the court, especially if you start getting better. But in reality, I don't think a lot of people really know how much time they need to spend. And sometimes they can actually spend too much time on court, right? And so, guys, what do you think? What do you think for the average person that is playing tennis as a hobby, how much time should they be playing?
Well, I'll take this one first. I'll talk from a league standpoint. If you're an adult, you play for fun, you get into your league, you're competing once a week with that league. I would say, like, just piggybacking on what you said, everybody's working, they don't have much time. I would always recommend get together with your team once a week, hire a coach to run you through some doubles drills and singles drills, whatever weaknesses you have, and, you know, build from there and, you know, make it to your matches on that one day a week and try and perform and carry on with that kind of structure until the end of your league matches. I don't know what else you guys might want to opinionate on that.
Yeah, I think whenever I've been coaching adults, it's more about the quality of time they spend on the court rather than the quantity of time they spend on the court, right? Because we know that life is very, very difficult and very busy for a lot of people. And so to go and spend 2 or 3 hours a day on a tennis court is not realistic. And also to spend 4 or 5 days a week going out and playing tennis, it's not realistic. So again, as you said, if you have a good structure to how you're spending your time on the court, you know, whether you're getting a mixture of, you know, very constructed coaching and then a lot of match play, and then, you know, maybe an hour or two a week where you're just going out and you're practicing the stuff that you've been taught, I think that's a good balance there. So like for me, I never really say an hour, you know, a typical like, oh, you should go and play 20 hours of tennis or whatever. But I think if you can get out there 2 or 3 times a week and make sure you're getting every aspect of your training and competing down, then I think that's more than enough. But Vols, what do you think for an average adult?
Yeah, I think from a adult profile where there's a lot of adults that also want to just probably hit for 2 days or 3 days a week and that don't want to compete in leagues or anything like that. And I think there's a lot of those people out there, and I think there's not a right or wrong answer, but I think 2 days a week will be good for those adults. I have had in the past adults that just want to hit with the coach, and because they just want to get off work and have a good time, a lesson with a little bit more cardio and just as a workout. And 2 times a week, I think it's also a good amount of time to spend on the court.
Yeah. And I think at times as well, you can spend too much time on a tennis court, right? Especially if you're chasing a goal or you're trying to get a certain stroke better. I think sometimes it's better to do it in small amounts of time and really focus in it. If, like, for example, if you're working on your serve, I don't think you should go out there and spend 2 hours at one time working on your serve. You're just going to burn yourself out and you're not going to...
Your shoulder too is going to mess me
up. Yeah, exactly. It just... I think the mental burnout of being, and tennis is such a technical sport that if you're spending so much time just doing repetitive stuff that we know we need to do as tennis players, if you're doing that, you know, for hours and hours at one time, I think the quality is going down. But if you can spend 15 minutes every time you get out there practicing that technique that you're working on with your coach, I think that's a better bang for your buck. And also, I think as well, like if you spend too much time competing, I see a lot of adults where the majority of their tennis is competing, which I think is great. And you need to spend a lot of time competing if you want to get better. But you also need time to go out there and practice and be relaxed and enjoy the sport. Competition can be very stressful for a lot of people. So I think finding that balance, as I said before, I think is key for them. And then enjoy what you do. Like, if you don't enjoy competing, you don't need to compete at that point. If you don't enjoy doing technical work, you don't need to spend the money to get coaches to work on technique. And so I think at that point, you've got this flexibility. You're not trying to win Wimbledon. You're not trying to get a college scholarship. So you can do it the way you want to do it, right? I think the next one to talk about before we talk about the junior stuff and where it gets a little bit more intense is like the 10 and under side. And I think a lot of people get this wrong. We've kind of touched upon this before in a previous podcast, but how much time should these kids that are 10 and under be spending? And at what time should they start? At what age should they start? What do you think?
That's a tricky topic to talk about. I think there's a lot of confusion out there, and because people think that maybe from an early age, they have to focus right away in just one sport. Mm. And I'm a believer that when you are 10 and under, even less than that, you have to actually be practicing many sports at once and trying different things. Just looking ahead in their futures, they're gonna, I think, get more ability skills and by practicing more sports. And I think focusing one single sport, like for example tennis, from a very early age, I would not recommend that. Maybe it's good to have your kid play over the weekends at your club, and maybe if he or she progresses well, think about maybe getting him or her into the club program. But definitely get involved with more sports than tennis.
Right, I agree with that. I'll piggyback on that a little bit. I would say, you know, play lots of sports so you develop your athletic abilities in different ways. You don't get burnt out as a kid, because we all know that a kid doesn't have a very good attention span.
Yeah.
And man, when I was coaching 10 and under, I remember only about 15 minutes of the hour class, if it was an hour, was actually tennis, just that 15 minutes. You're doing athletic development at the beginning. Then you're playing fun games, just jumping around and tossing balls and cush balls. And, you know, then you're playing a small tennis. You're teaching a little bit of technique and maybe a stroke or something, and then a fun tennis game at the end. So, I mean, and that's how we kept the kids engaged when we were working with them. We just had constant change of what we were doing and keeping them moving so that you develop more athleticism than anything else.
I think I totally agree with both of you there. And I think we've all seen this mistake in the past. And we've seen coaches make this mistake too. Like, I've seen many coaches put so much pressure on the years between like 5 and 10 years old. And like, I am a firm believer that you didn't know that Roger Federer was going to be Roger Federer at 8 years old. Like, you knew that this was a very gifted young athlete, but you didn't know he was going to turn into Roger Federer. And, you know, it took years and years and years post 10 years old to develop a player like that. And so if you want your child to be, you know, the next superstar, the first thing you've got to do is make them fall in love with the sport. You've got to make them want to be out there. And tennis is a very difficult sport for kids to stay focused on and to not get burnt out on, because it's just a ton of repetition. Like, anyone who's played a high level of tennis knows just how repetitive your training has to be in order for you to get good at that sport. And at the beginning stages, I don't think they should be playing. You know, I used to have a system when I was running an academy. It's like, anyone who was in red, I recommended no more than 2 days a week, and they needed to be days in between, right? And then if you were in orange, where you're looking at, like, you know, 7 to 8 year olds, 6 to 8 year olds, I said no more than 3 times a week. And again, no more, you know, there needs to be days in between. And then when you get into the green, I was saying, look, like, there needs to be a day in between practice, and you could go up to about 4, potentially 5, if, you know, they're showing signs that the kid wants to do it. But at that point, and I used to tell parents, at that point, the kids need to be the ones that are driving that. They want to go to play tennis. They're asking you to play tennis. And as soon as they don't want to go, you don't make them go. And I was someone who's, you know, trying to sell tennis. And I was saying, don't make the kids play if they don't want to play, because we see it so much. Like, the amount of drop off that we see in tennis at the age of like 13, 14, for even very gifted players, is because it was drilled into them way too early, and they burnt out way too early. Right. So I, you know, I think I agree with everything. And I think if you're a parent that is trying to want their kid to get into tennis, I think, again, we've got to where we've got to in our lives because of tennis, and we're very grateful for tennis. It's why we're doing what we're doing right now. But make sure you're looking out for things like Marty said, is that the tennis session is not just tennis. It's an all round experience of, you know, them doing athletic stuff and then doing fun and games and a little bit of technique. I mean, like, doesn't need to be a lot of technique up until that. I mean, they're not even playing with regular balls until they're post 10 years old. So right. Technique doesn't need to be developed before that. And yeah, so I think for me, it's the falling in love part of tennis that they really need to focus on. And that is going to be, that can be done once a week until they're 10. So then it kind of rolls into, okay, post 10 and under, and you've got kids who, let's go with kids who aren't looking to go and play college, but they want to play like high school level, right? They want to go and play a decent level of tennis, but they don't want to take it on, you know, into university and after that. How much should they be playing? Like, should they feel the pressure to be playing 6-7 days a week, or is it less than that? What do you guys think?
Well, I think that's really dependent on how much they love the sport. You know, if it's just a recreational player that just wants to do it because his friends are out there and, you know, wants to spend more time with them, then, you know, I would say we had a program for recreational players. It was twice a week, 2-hour sessions. And that was obviously, you know, delivered much differently than high performance. It was, hey guys, let's, you know, work on one thing. And then we gave them a lot of time to, you know, they could chat a little bit between the drills and, you know, enjoy themselves, and a lot of games at the end, because you've got some of those players that are just recreational. They don't want to compete. They feel the fear of competition, or they just don't enjoy it. Mm. So they're just, you know, they're just there for the fun and games of it and just hanging out, being with their friends. I don't know what you guys, have you guys ever experienced anything like that?
Yeah, yeah. I think talking, you know, 12 and above, yeah, that's probably the age where you, like you guys said earlier, it's a decision that comes from the player, actually. If it's falling in love with the sport rather than having their parents deciding, okay, you should do this. For instance, I remember when I was 12 years old, my parents came up to me and say, okay, you want to continue with tennis, or you want to continue playing handball, which I was playing at the time. So I think that's an example in which I believe that the player has to be the one saying, okay, yeah, no, I prefer to get more into tennis and try to get to a high school team and maybe college after. But definitely comes from the player.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think at this this is something that's really important for people to understand in tennis. Is tennis, high performance tennis is a very small part of tennis. It's not, when you look at the guys on TV or you look at college athletes or you look at the best players, that is such a small percentage of people that play tennis. That is not what tennis is about. And, you know, I'm coming off of being, you know, a high performance coach, played at a decent level, and I still recognize that without all the other tennis players that are playing that just simply love to play tennis because they love tennis, they love just being on court and having fun with it, that we wouldn't have the opportunity to do high performance, right? We need the whole of tennis to work in order to have that high performance part of it. And so if you're somebody who is just, you know, who's 12 to 18 years old and just loves playing tennis, there's no pressure for the amount of time you spend on the court. There's no pressure on how you spend your time on the court too. Same thing as I said about the, you know, the adult part of things is like, just do what you like doing. And especially if you're coaching those players, be aware of that. Be aware that this needs to be more fun. Like I used to, you know, my style of coaching was very high performance, you know, very, you know, strict and structured. And that was the way I loved to do it. But I did have a great time when I was coaching players that didn't take it as seriously, that didn't want the hours of repetition, the breaking down technique and looking through video replays of matches and whatever. They just like playing. And I really enjoyed, especially towards the end of my coaching career, I really enjoyed coaching those players because it was fun. You know, you could just have fun with them on the court. And I feel that tennis will suffer as a sport if we spend... We had so many people trying to be high performance coaches and so many kids feeling that they have to play tennis in a high performance setting. And so, yeah, I think again, there is no right or wrong answer for these players. And they want to play once a week. Great. If they want to play twice a week. Fantastic. If they want to play every single day, but they don't want to go and be the next Roger Federer. Fantastic. But do it in the way that they want to do it and make it fun for them. So then we come down to high performance. Okay. This is the area of tennis where you don't really get that luxury. And I think this is, you know, for anyone who's listening, this is where it gets a little bit more serious. A lot more serious. And it gets to a point where you really have to trust people that know their stuff and trust coaches that have been there and done that. And when they say this is what they've got to do, they're saying it because the pressure to be at the top of the game and to be someone who stands out in tennis, whether you want to get a college scholarship or you want to try and make it pro afterwards, it is so difficult to do that in a sport of tennis that you are required to do a minimum of X amount of hours on a court. You've got to travel to X amount of tournaments. But this is, again, a very small percentage of tennis. This is not tennis in general. This is, I don't know, what would you say, like 15% of actual tennis is high performance, if that. And so when people are listening to this, we don't want you to feel like, they finished with this one, so this is how we should do it. This is a very small niche of players that will ever have to train like this. And it's not for everybody. And a lot of kids don't survive it because it is so intense. So if we put our high performance hats back on and we go into that world of, okay, we've got a kid who wants to make it as a D1 tennis player. At 12 years old, I believe that's the age where you've got to say, okay, if I want to be a college athlete or I want to make it pro afterwards and you're a tennis player, you've got to give up the other sports at 12 years old. I think you guys feel free to disagree with me here, but I feel like how much time you've got to spend traveling for tournaments and how much time you've got to spend on the court and the risk of injuring yourself and losing time in your development. For me, it was like, yeah, play as many sports as you want, but at 12, you want to make that commitment. That's where you want to make the commitment.
Yeah, I was at 12 years old as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you think, Marty? 12?
Yeah, 12 sounds about right. It's, you know, you've almost a teen there. You've got to make that big decision and, you know, be accountable and commit or not commit, you know?
Yeah. And I think at 12 years old, the kid also has the intelligence levels now and the awareness to make that choice that, hey, look, I like tennis a lot. Again, I think it should come from the kid. Like you said, Volsey, I think if the parents are saying, hey, you've got to be a high performance player at 12, but the kid's not bought in, they're not going to be very good. They're just not, because you've got to love it in order to get good, unless you're extremely talented And we're talking that level of talented. There's not many people on the planet that are that talented to be able to be a high-level tennis player and not love the sport. Then at that point, they're not gonna. It needs to come from the kid. So when we're looking at, let's start from the kid who's 12 and he's going into this new setting of high performance. How much should they be playing?
Well, that's kind of a tricky question again, you know, because you've got your early bloomers. You've got that 12-year-old who looks like he's 16 already, has a good build, can handle the long practice. And then you've got your late bloomers, little skinny kid or skinny gal who hasn't put any muscle on, can't last long enough, but is a great player on the court, can keep up playing wise because they know, they understand how to play the game. So I think at that point, what I'm going to share in this portion is, you know, go with what your kid or what you can handle. Mm. If you are able to manage long practices, you know, you're going to be given more work to do, a bigger workload. If you can't, you're going to have separate portions of work throughout the day, and it might be a different amount. But you're putting all the hours in. It's just at different times. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I'd be interested to hear from Volzy as well on this. For me, again, I kind of agree with what you're saying, Marty, is even from 12 to like 18, everyone is going to develop physically at a different rate. And also, they're going to mature at different rates as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think, you know, I actually came up with a system when I was working at Genesis of, you know, rough guidelines of at this age group, they should be able to do this if they're high performance. At this age group, they should be playing X amount of hours per week. At this age group, a practice should look at kind of this intensity and stuff. So I would be able to kind of describe what a practice should look like. And that was for many years of witnessing the best players and how they looked in practice and how much time they were spending. And then USTA and LTA guidelines I use as well. I also use Tennis Europe guidelines and then Tennis Australia as well. And they're all very similar. And that information is very easy to get online. The USTA actually have a fantastic PDF that they break down the hours that players should be playing. But again, I used to use that as a grain of salt. And I used to say, look, you know, each player, whether you want to practice for 2 or 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, or you want to practice 4 days a week for 2 hours, it depends on the player. It depends on the accessibility for the parents to get them to practice, how much they can afford the players to play in an academy setting. And then it also comes down to, look, you can spend 6 days a week playing 5 hours a day, but if the quality of practice isn't there, if the intensity from the player isn't there, if the desire to get better and the coachability of that player isn't there, it's useless anyway. So I spend more time focusing on, again, the quality of time they're spending on the court. I would say if you're someone who's 16 and you're not playing 5 days a week, it's not enough, right? And you need to be playing at least 5 days a week. You need to be, I think at this point, you know, on average throughout the year, you need to be playing 20 plus tournaments at 16 years old if you're going to make it into college at a decent level, potentially go and make it further than college. You need to spend that much time on the match court, practicing what you're doing. But again, we all know players and we've played in college teams with players. Like I was a guy that wanted to spend 6 hours a day on court. And then we had other players in our team who were potentially better, but they only wanted to spend 1 hour a day, but that worked for them. So again, I think it's a very difficult one to say, here's how much time they should be spending on the court to the exact hour. I think it's the quality of time and then how that practice is structured. Are you getting enough technical support? Are you getting enough tactical, you know, practice in there where you're understanding player ID and how points are structured and how you play the game? And then are you actually having enough time practicing, playing sets, playing matches, and then actually playing competition? Fools, what do you think?
I definitely think, sorry, I was just going to jump in real quick. I do think that, you know, they do need a structure, like you said, and it needs to be somewhat intense and somewhat to where it exhausts the body a little bit on some days so that they learn that sacrifice it takes to put your body through a certain moment that, you know, you feel that, okay, I've really got to be up to a level so that I can compete with the big dog. So I do think it has to be some strenuous work there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then I think, you know, as well, looking at how much time should I be spending doing physical conditioning? If you're not conditioning, you know, at least 3 or 4 hours a week by the time you're 16, it doesn't have to be in the gym. It just needs to be some sort of physical conditioning. Are you going to be able to maintain a high enough level for a 3 hour match that we know can happen in tennis? In tennis, there is no time limit. I used to tell players this all the time. Like, you've got to be ready to be able to compete for as long as you need to at the intensity you need to, too. Because if you can play at the college level tennis, you know, let's say you can play at D1 level, right, for an hour, but then your physical conditioning doesn't hold up and then your level drops dramatically. Are you a Division One level player? I would argue not, because you need to be able to sustain that for a long period of time and able to do that. But Vols, you know, you've worked with some fantastic juniors and, you know, you're working for one of the biggest academy structures in the world right now. What would you say?
I would say it from a common sense perspective, but I think when you're 12, 13 years old, you're still a kid.
Yeah.
And you are, I mean, if you're not enjoying, you're not going to play the hours. If you're enjoying, you're going to put the hours. But what is important also that maybe we didn't comment yet is that the team that is around you, the team of coaches that is around you in that age, I think it's crucial in your development, because you're just getting in a path that you don't know about, that you don't know exactly what it means to put hours on the court and do all these repetitions. That having that team around you of great coaches is, like I said, is crucial, because to guide you, to maybe not burn you out so much, depending on your personality. So I'm saying it as a coach, that you have to have some sort of touch with the kids that you're coaching, for them to keep going and keep them involved with the sport and loving it, you know. So I'm just saying from a common sense perspective that at that age, it's like what you said, there's not a specific amount of hours. If you like it, you're gonna put the hours and you will happily do it. It's a matter of the motivation that you have.
I love what you said there, man. I agree 100%. I think it's so important to have a coach that's going to instill good values in that kid so that he can keep going and is inspired to come out and train every day. I thought that was great.
Yeah, and I think you touched upon a really good part there, is that I've had players where I've had to tell them enough's enough, you know, that you need to take some time off, or you need to reduce your hours you're spending on the court, because again, tennis can become very obsessive, especially when you're playing at a high level. And that you've got this pressure that you feel like, you know, from 12 to 18 years old, it goes in a second, right? And it's not a long time for young people to develop a skill set that's going to be, you know, matching up with players from all over the world that want college scholarships. And kids feel that pressure. If you've ever worked in high performance and you've ever worked with players that are trying to get college scholarships or trying to get to the level where they can get a college scholarship, you know, you touch upon getting a UTR that is, so if your UTR is not good enough, coaches won't even look at you. And so you've got to win matches.
That email, yeah.
You know, you've got to win matches consistently in order to even get to the point where you're even going to have an opportunity to show your skill set, you know? And so it is a very stressful experience and process. And so I've had players where I've had to tell them, hey, look, when you go home, you can't watch TV. You can't watch tennis on TV. Your mom and dad, they can't talk about tennis to you on these nights. Like, you need to be a normal kid. You need to live a normal life, because at the end of the day, tennis, although we all have tennis in our lives and we have even past college and whatever, it's not always going to be the number one thing in your life. And I think if you install that into kids at a young age, that, hey, look, there is more to life than your training. There's more to life than your results. There's more to life than how your forehand and backhand is going. I think they become better players and they become better people. And I think, as Marty, as you said, that is so important for coaches to install into their players, is that, look, tennis teaches you more than just what your UTR is, what your ranking is, what scholarship you're going to get, or, you know, post college. I think there's a lot more that you learn in those times that you're on the court. And so, yeah, Vols, I agree. And Mario, I agree with everything you guys have said tonight. So we're wrapping up there. And hopefully anyone who is listening that has kind of given you some guidelines on how much time you should be spending on a tennis court. And I think the overall thing that you can take from this is there is no set time. It's do what, you know, you feel like you want to do. And then if you're a young high performance player, do the necessary work in order to get to the level you want to get to, and hire good coaches. Hire coaches that know it, that take you for as a consideration, not just a piece of paper or PDF that says, hey, you need to do X amount of time on this or whatever, you know. As of next week, we will have our first guest on the Let's Talk Tennis podcast. We won't tell you who it's going to be yet. Hopefully some of you that are listening may know who it is. It's someone who is very, very influential in our tennis careers. And I think we're lucky enough now to call him a very good friend of ours. So if you want to tune in next week, you'll get to find out who our first guest for this podcast will be. But boys, I really hope you have a fantastic week. Thank you for joining us again today. And we will see you next time.
See you next week, guys.
See you guys. Good talk.